Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. The Word of God recorded in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Today we talk about the Christian's walk and the church's talk. When it comes to matters of religion, most people are legalists. Legalism is the bane of religion. Man presumes to glorify God by making and enforcing man-made rules. There's a Yiddish word for that sort of thing. It's called chutzpah. It's a word that means unmitigated effrontery, impudence, gall, audacity, nerve. Well, you get the idea. It takes a lot of chutzpah for the creature to dictate to the Creator how the Creator is going to be worshipped, honored, and obeyed. But that's what legalists do. They make rules that they insist come from God, but they don't, because God never said it. Saying God said it when he didn't is taking God's name in vain. But relying on man-made rules does make religious observance a neat and tidy affair. Obey the rules, and you'll do just fine. Of course, when you learn to know God's law, you see that it governs not just outward conduct, but it governs the heart and rules the mind and lays claim to the will. Man-made religious rules are designed to enable us to evade our true duty, the duty to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and the duty to love our neighbors as ourselves. No number of rules can encompass our duty to God and neighbor, nor can they change our hearts so that we love God with all our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves. The first three commandments of the Ten Commandments teach us how to love God, and the next seven commandments teach us how to love our neighbor. We love our neighbor by honoring father and mother, by not doing physical harm to the neighbor, by living chaste and pure lives, by not stealing or lying or trying to deprive our neighbor of what is rightfully his. And the attitude enjoined by these commandments is the attitude that is expressed by the apostle in these words, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, in all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering or patience, bearing with one another in love. There is no love without humility. If you want to see God's love, you can see it only in God becoming one of us and suffering for us. The Bible makes this clear from cover to cover that this is true love. God showed Abraham what God's love required of God. He required that Abraham sacrifice his son, his only son whom he loved. Now, he didn't make him go through with it, but God did go through with it. As St. John writes, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16. St. Paul writes, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. We cannot know God's love apart from the humility of Jesus, his only begotten Son. And as we trust in the forgiveness that that humility brings, and as we imitate that humility in our daily walk, we see what it means to walk humbly before God. It means patiently bearing with one another. It means putting up with sins and faults and shortcomings, errors, even those things that anger us the most. Legalism doesn't require that of us. It simply places us under rules. And then we end up using the rules as personal weapons with which to fight each other, raising up ourselves at the expense of the other, proving that we are right while they are wrong. But walking the Christian walk is the very opposite. Instead of serving rules, we serve our neighbor. Jesus bore with humility the sins of all people when he suffered on the cross for us all. We bear with humility sins that have already been washed away by the blood of Jesus. That is the Christian walk, and it's a walk to which all Christians are called. Every Christian has a divine call, if you will, a call to walk the Christian walk in this or that specific vocation. Are you a student? God has called you to be a student. Do what you do as a student in humility, gentleness, patience. Put up with things that people do that you don't like. Forgive those who do you wrong. If somebody is put down and slandered, then defend and speak well of him. That's the Christian walk. Are you a husband and a father? That's your vocation. God called you to be a husband and a father. Treat your wife as Christ treats his holy bride, the church. Put her needs before your own. Speak gently to her. Forgive her her faults. Don't treat her harshly, because that's not how Christ treats his bride. Are you a wife and mother? That's your vocation. God called you to be a wife and mother. Submit to your husband with respect, even as you submit to the Lord Jesus who died for you. Don't criticize him to others. Be patient with him. The walk of the Christian is grounded in the talk of the church. The apostle writes, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Note what he does not say. He does not say that we establish or create or bring about the unity of the Spirit. He says that we keep the unity of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who establishes this unity. We live within it as he calls us to our various vocations. And he does so by means of the gospel that forgives us our sins. This is how he unites us. We have no power to establish or create Christian unity. All we can do is cause division. And division is caused by pride. Because it's pride that will not submit to the authority of God's word. It is pride that isn't satisfied with the revealed truth, but insists on a new wisdom, a new teaching, a new idea. Pride wants to take credit. But when you stay with the pure gospel and sacraments that Jesus entrusted to his church, there is no credit. When you hold on to the faithful teaching of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, there is no credit. God gets all the credit. But men want credit, and they want disciples and power and fame, and they learn that they can gain all these things by coming up with new and exciting teachings that draw people after them. And in this way, the unity of the church is threatened by novel and false teachings promoted by men. Listen to the apostle again. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Seven ones. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. The one body is the Holy Christian Church. The one Spirit is the Holy Spirit, who has called the Holy Christian Church together as a communion of saints. The one hope is the hope of heaven. The one Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has purchased the church with his own blood. The one faith is the holy gospel that the Spirit has revealed and which the church confesses together. The one baptism is the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit by which we are incorporated as members of the church through faith. The one God is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, to whom we pray by Jesus' invitation. The Holy Christian Church appears to be divided into numerous sects. It appears to be many different and competing churches. As the hymnist writes, "Though with a scornful wonder men see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed." We don't trust appearances. Legalists trust appearances. But we who are born again by the Holy Spirit Himself do not judge by what our eyes see. We judge spiritually. We judge according to the words of the Holy Spirit, that is, according to the words of the Holy Scriptures. The Bible says that there is one body. It does not say that there are many different churches. There is only one. And this is not a matter of sight. This is a matter of faith. As we confess in the Creed, "I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church." I believe this not because I can see her unity. I believe this because God's word tells me it is so. Now, we can't see the unity of the church, but we can know where it is. Wherever the gospel is purely proclaimed and the sacraments of Christ are rightly administered, there is the Holy Christian Church, united in love, without sect, schism, or heresy. This oneness is the Spirit's gift. He gives the church what to say. When the Spirit's words are said, there the church's unity is on display. The church's talk is God's talk, and where the church talks this talk, there it is that Christians are empowered to walk the walk. There's much talk about empowerment these days. Those who have been excluded from political power and social status are promised empowerment. Of course, this empowerment usually entails passing laws that will empower more and more people. Give us more power, pass more laws. This way, we will be empowered to empower others. Well, that's not the way it is for Christ's church. Indeed, it is in humility that we find power. It is in weakness, as we humble ourselves under the law of God. Indeed, as the law of God humbles us and shows us our guilt, the Holy Spirit raises us up out of guilt. He gives us the forgiveness of sins, enabling us to walk the Christian walk. He places us within the church, and the talk of the church is always talk of Christ's walk, who walked humbly, obediently, vicariously, the walk all the way to the cross, where he took upon himself all of our sin and suffered. And by suffering, by bearing our sin, he washed it away. This Jesus has the authority on earth to forgive sins, and he does. He forgives sins. The walk of Christ is the talk of Christ's church. And then we walk the walk as Christians. We walk as those forgiven of all our sins. The forgiveness is given freely by the Holy Spirit, who comforts us. And this is the power to walk worthy of our calling. This is what keeps the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Christ for Us is sponsored by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We invite you to attend one of the congregations of our parish on Sunday morning. First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, service at 8 o'clock Sunday morning. Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, service at 9:30 Sunday morning. First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, service at 11:30 Sunday morning. And please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.